been such an exciting conference. It's been so good to be here. Aren't you thankful for a church that has a conference like this where you can be refreshed and reminded of things that we need to be doing? I grew up in the Bible Belt back east, and I've been to a lot of churches, and so many of them, I have to say this carefully because I believe there are many preachers where their heart's in the right place, but there are so many churches out there that just aren't doing the work and aren't leading people to the next step. They're just kind of, maybe they're presenting salvation, but they're just, hey, you're fine now. And these poor baby Christians, they have no clue how to be a good wife, how to be a mother. And it's such a precious time to be at conferences like this, where we can just soak up the Word of God and learn more about Him and how to have a good life. I'm so glad you've been here, and I hope you thank Pastor Tice for having this. You know, he doesn't just schedule things like this to fill up the church calendar. I think sometimes we look at our church calendars and think, yeah, he's just trying to fill up the day. He's trying to block them in. He fills them up because he sees the need, and God puts that need on his heart. So thank God for your pastor and pastor's wife that care enough for you to go to the trouble and planning and bringing in speakers and taking care of the needs of a conference like this. Now, if you're a little cold, I think Pastor Matt just turned off the air, so maybe it'll warm up a minute. Don't you wish you were speaking up here so you could be under the lights and getting warm? Normally, I'm a little nervous about getting up, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to get up there. I'm like, turn that spotlight on, and it'll get me warm. Then shaking. I loved Brianna talking about the difference between men and women and getting the kids ready. And I think that's so funny. Sometimes we get really frustrated not be the helpmeet that we should be on Sunday morning. And I heard about a couple. I just got to share this with you. In fact, they might be well known to you. Steve and Annie Chapman. Now, it's not Steve and Curtis Chapman. It's another. It's a couple, and they sing songs, especially about families and families being devoted to God. And I heard that one time Annie very sweetly said to Steve, honey, why don't we try something different this Sunday? How about this Sunday, just for a change, you get the kids ready, and I'll go out and sit in the car and honk the horn. Isn't that great? I just thought that was so beautiful. And you have to say it sweetly if you're going to say that one. But I thought, wow, that is really, really good. Now, did everyone get a little cupcake treat? Anybody need one? Raise your hand if you don't. I've got some helpers. We need a couple more passed out. Where's my girls? Oh, there you are. Should have told you to stay standing up. So just keep your hands up, and we'll get one to you. We're going to be talking about you and your witness, and I've subtitled it Great Commission Cupcakes. The little treats hopefully will inspire you and help you remember this little lesson. Just, you walked away with something, right? If you get nothing else, you got a treat. So you can tell your husband, yes, Mrs. Tice, her lesson was a special treat to me today. So, you know, I love the little cupcake places everywhere. Aren't they adorable? I love the children's clothes. They have little cupcakes on them. And I've bought my daughter's outfits that, you know, I bought them on sale, so they can't wear them until this winter. But they were so cute, and they're all sweet as a cupcake. They've got little cupcake hair bows. And have you noticed the fad that's going on now? There are cupcake bakeries everywhere. Have you noticed that? I mean, it seems like everywhere I turn, there's little Mad Hatter cupcakes or cupcakery and all these little places doing cupcakes, and they're apparently doing really well, even in the economy, because they just keep opening up. I think it's because everybody just loves little cupcakes. They're so cute and so fun and so sweet. I've heard a story about a little boy. He went to a restaurant with his mom, and they had been out all day shopping, and he tried to be a good boy, and they got to the restaurant, and they were tired, and mom said, would you like to pray and ask the blessing? He said, okay, I will. And so he prayed, and he, you know, said, dear Lord, thank you for this food. And please, God, please let me have some ice cream for dessert. Amen. And a lady a few tables over, she heard that, and she said to her friend, can you believe that? Isn't that terrible? Children today don't even know how to pray correctly. Well, the little boy heard her, and he started, his eyes filled with tears. He was being as genuine as he could be to the Lord. He said, Mommy, did I do something wrong? And she held him. She picked him up and said, no, honey, you did just fine. An older gentleman heard the whole thing. He came by the little boy. He leaned down and he said, don't you worry, son. You know, God knows your prayer, and he knows that a little ice cream is good for the soul. Everybody needs a little ice cream. Well, dessert time came, and Mom, sure enough, bought the little boy some ice cream. And he looked really hard at it, and then he did something pretty unusual. He stood up, took his bowl of ice cream, walked over to that lady who had made the comment, sat down in front of her and smiled real big and said, here, this is for you. My soul's just fine today. You know, isn't that great? And I love that. Sometimes we need a little ice cream. It's good for the soul. Sometimes we need a little cupcake. It's good for the soul. And I felt so bad for Mrs. Chappell last night. Didn't it just tear your heart out when she was talking about how she can't eat sweets anymore? I mean, my eyes were back there, and I was welling up with tears. I felt like she has lost a leg. I mean, how can she keep going? I think my greatest fear since I was a child is that I'm going to get diabetes one day. I mean, I'm not as worried about cancer or leukemia. I fear diabetes. I don't know how I'll make it, you know? Now, I wouldn't mind having the good kind of diabetes. You know there's two kinds. I don't know a lot about it, but I know there's the kind that you can't eat anything delicious. You know, you have to have everything sugar-free. And if you're in that case, I'm so sorry. I'm praying for you. But you can't have anything good. Any of the sugar-free desserts, they're not good. They've got that aftertaste. Diet Coke, don't even. I mean, it's not worth it. Just exercise more. But there's the good kind of diabetes. Have you seen these skinny little women? They're skinny. They're out. I have some in my church. And they'll be out in the foyer eating a chocolate bar, skinny as a rail, and say, my blood sugar was low. And they're just eating it up. I'm thinking, oh, that is what I need, Lord. I need that low blood sugar where my body just burns it like that and I can eat it like that. I have to just eat it. Honey, we're going to have to stop on the road. You know, we're on a road trip. My blood sugar's low. I got to have some chocolate. But I don't have either type yet, and I'm praying I don't get the bad one, but I get the good one. You know, sometimes I think we have the wrong idea about witnessing. I'm so glad you didn't leave. I don't know if you knew my title, that it was about witnessing, but sometimes when we hear we're going to be talking about soul winning or the Great Commission, it's kind of, and this has been me before too, oh no. You know, that's the topic for the next session. Maybe the baby needs me. You know, we're looking in the nursery to see if we're needed. Because sometimes we just have this feeling of dread when we talk about sharing the gospel. And you know, it ought not be that way. It ought to be as joyful as baking a little cupcake. I love baking. It's so much fun. It's fun to give out little cupcake treats. I was so excited about my cupcake treats to share with you. I had ladies in my church help me make these. And if you like the recipe, it's very easy. I'll give it to you later. Just come see me. But it was so fun. I couldn't wait to bring them and give them out to you. And it's fun making them. You know, that's how soul winning should be. It should be one of the most fun things in the world. It should be something we look forward to, that we're excited to talk about, that we're ready to hand out. And that's what I hope we can get from this lesson today. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, we're going to start right into it. Number one, let's talk about how to make these Great Commission cupcakes. Number one, you've got to be the baker. Be the baker. Letter A, because it's urgent. Because it's urgent. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to John 4, verse 35. You know, I can set my heart to doing a lot of things that maybe aren't that important. I told you the other night, I love free stuff. I get that from my father. He is also a free stuff fanatic. He goes and works at nuclear plants. He's retired, but he just doesn't want to stop working. He'll work at nuclear plants when they shut down. I didn't know they ever shut down, but apparently they have to shut down every so often for about 7 weeks or so. And they'll hire men to come in and just do small jobs or whatever needs to be done, cleaning things, and it's a big ordeal. They go work these shutdowns. And a lot of times at these shutdowns, they'll give them stuff. The workers will get, you know, work gloves. They'll get shirts. They always have shirts that, you know, will have the little name of the plant on it. And my dad, he is the type that he will go in, they're giving out gloves, he'll be picking up several pairs, you know. And he comes home, he's giving all of us and the grandkids all gloves, these big ugly work gloves. And then he gives us, I have a nuclear t-shirt at home, you know, for my dad, because he picks it, he loves it, he gets excited. I'm like my dad. We had a couple of Chipotles around us. Don't you love Chipotle? It's almost lunchtime. We need to meet there after this session. I love Chipotle. And Chipotle is very good about giving away free stuff. Well, one of my friends at church called me and said, hey, the Chipotle that just opened down the street from the church, they're going to be giving away free burritos on their official grand opening day. So do you know what I did? I was already going down there with my kids. It was during the summertime. It was hot. But I was so excited. Free burritos. Woohoo! And I told everybody I could think of. I went through the church directory. I'm not kidding. I went through the church directory and I was calling everyone. I said, hey, Brother Grace, I just have to let you and Melanie know they're doing free burritos tomorrow. You got to get down to the Chipotle. It's from this time to this time. You know, I called everybody in our church. And then I went and stood in that line with my two children. My husband was busy. And we were there and it was hot. I was pregnant. We were sweating and we were so excited. It was good times because we were going to get our burrito. Isn't it funny? As ladies, we love to talk sometimes, don't we? We love to tell our friends about good stuff. and things that aren't even really important. Did it matter if they got a free burrito? No, it didn't. It was fun, but it wasn't something important. It wasn't something that was urgent, was it? And yet sometimes we have the best news in the world, the most important thing that we could share with anyone, and we keep our mouths closed. Let's look at John 4, verse 35. There we go. Get warmed up here. John 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, Jesus says, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. We went to Fresno to visit Jose and Aaron Miana. Do you know Jose and Aaron? They started a church in Fresno. It's doing very well. And we had the privilege of going out there. My husband was going to speak at their Next Step banquet where they're raising money to purchase the land. Well, Fresno, I didn't realize, it's beautiful. Fresno, California has agriculture as their main community thing. And we were driving through, and almost every yard had fruit trees in it. Well, we got to their house, and they had several fruit trees. One of them was a big grapefruit tree. Now, I love grapefruits. They are so good. And not just any grapefruit, white grapefruits, the ones that are tart. Oh, when I was pregnant, I looked everywhere for them in Las Vegas. They didn't sell them in the stores. I had to order them on the internet, and they are expensive to ship because they're so heavy. And it's hard to find grapefruit. And they usually just have pink or ruby red. They had white grapefruit in their yard. And so Jose and Aaron told me, oh, we don't even eat them. We don't like grapefruit. I said, you don't like grapefruit? I said, would you mind if I picked them? And they said, no, no, go ahead. So, well, Jose, being a boy from Las Vegas, had no clue what to do with trees. I didn't know this either. I'm from Alabama, and I had no clue. So nothing bad about Jose here. But he went, and he trimmed the trees, and he tried to just make them look all pretty. He trimmed off the bottom. Well, Aaron told me you're not supposed to do that because that makes the fruit grow at the top. You're supposed to trim off the top, and the fruit will grow at the bottom where you can just walk by and pick it. So all my grapefruit were way up high in that tree. And I was out there with Aaron. I said, okay, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go up because the ladder wasn't tall enough to reach those grapefruit. But I needed those grapefruit. So I climbed. In fact, the first day, the boys weren't there, and I was in a skirt. And I am proud to say I climbed up that tree in a skirt. And I haven't climbed a tree since I was probably 10 or 11. I didn't climb a lot, but I was going to get the grapefruit. And then there were little branches all over, and I was having to reach out very carefully, hanging onto this one, reaching out. I think Erin was scared. I think she just knew I was going to fall and they were going to take me to the hospital. But I would get my grapefruit and put them in my bag. And I got that bag loaded full of grapefruit, a couple of bags full. And I got down, and ladies, there was something else I didn't know about grapefruit trees, not just about how you trim them. They have thorns. Just like roses. Now, I knew it was a little bit uncomfortable. I kept thinking, man, I can't get these limbs apart. I came down, and both my arms were covered with scratches. And I said, what did you do? I had to go inside and pour peroxide all down both of my arms, and it was stinging, but I didn't care because I had my grapefruit, and it was worth it. The fruit was ready, and it broke my heart. I was looking around and seeing the grapefruit that were on the ground just wasted. The Lord looks out on the field. He looks out on the hearts that he is touching. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is drawing men to himself. He's producing that fruit. He's sowing that seed of God's word in their heart, and they're ready to be harvested. We need to be there. We need to make that effort to get that fruit when it's ready to be picked. We need to do that. It's an urgent. Hell is real. We need to be looking for the fruit that God has that's ready to harvest. Now here, I have to apologize. My notes are a little off. What I need you to do is write in a letter B, and Heidi, just don't go to the next point yet. I made up a letter B. Because it's eternal. So we have an extra point here. Letter B, write in on the side, because it is eternal. I mentioned a minute ago, I love children's clothes. I love the cupcake things. I love Gymboree. Gymboree is a store. Now that I have girls, I found Gymboree, and I have a little problem. I can smell Gymboree. I get a bag of baby clothes, and I'm like, that's got to be Gymboree. I can tell. My husband makes fun of me. We'll walk through the store, and I'm oohing and aahing. I'm like, honey, how did they think to do this? This designer is amazing. They're so just adorable. And he'll walk behind me saying, how did they think to put a pig on that shirt? How did they think to put little pigs on all these shirts? They're amazing. Because it's not really that, I guess, imagine. They're just using everyday things, but it's adorable. And, I love Gymboree. There are so many things I love. I love food. I've shared that. But we need to love what is eternal. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have Chipotle. It's okay to go shopping and look at Gymboree. But we need to remember about things that last. My son, he's very tender to the things of God. And just recently, he's 5 years old, just recently, he's become a little bit preachy in a good way, a little bit preachy to me. We were driving home from church a few nights ago, and Sunday night after church, we can get home just in time to see our favorite show. At least it's my favorite show. Our family likes it. It's my favorite. It's Extreme Home Makeover. How many of you have seen that? Okay, it's great. They usually take a family that's a little bit underprivileged or they've had a rough time, and they will build them a brand new house in 7 days. And it's so fun to watch the designers. It's very Disney, so of course the Tice is going to love it. I mean, they've got the Disney music. And don't tell my husband, but he always gets teary-eyed. It's so cute. He'll be sitting on the couch sniffing, you know. And I always cry, but I cry at anything. And we will watch it, and we're all the family sitting there, and we'll shout with a bus driver, "Boop, that bus!" You know, we're participating, and it's so much fun. So we were going home the other night, and we had gotten out a bit late from church, and we got in the car, and I saw it was about 5 minutes past my show. I said, "Honey, we got to go. Thank goodness we live close to the church." I said, "Come on, our show has started." And my little son in the back seat, 5 years old, says, "Mom, it's okay if we don't see that show, because shows don't last forever." And he goes on. I mean, my husband and I are like, What are you talking about? And he's going on. He says, "You know, Mom, we were at church today. And church and learning about God lasts forever. Shows don't last forever." And we are just sitting here in shock because our son is preaching to us. And then he said, I was trying to explain to him, I'm, you know, spiritual too. I'm like, "Well, son, if we can go to church and see our show, that's okay too." And he said, "Yes, that's okay, Mom. But you know what, Mom? Shows just don't last forever, so even if we didn't see the show, it would be okay. Shows don't last forever, but toys last forever, because they're made out of plastic." I promise you, that is what he, and we're just trying not to laugh up front, because we're just thinking it's hilarious, you know. But my son was right. Shows don't last forever. These things, temporary clothes, as much as I love those little cupcake outfits, they're not going to last forever. In fact, they'll barely last one season. And then my children will have outgrown them, and I don't know what I'll do with them. Hand them down, give them to Goodwill. We need to realize that sewing is so important because it lasts forever. It's eternal. Matthew 6:20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." We spend so much time, even as ladies, we spend time shopping and seeking those good deals. Are we spending time storing up things in heaven? Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's our church's theme this year, first the kingdom. Putting Christ first. What can I do to bring forth the kingdom of God, to enhance the kingdom on earth? Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth." Now, I'm going to be honest, I have trouble sometimes with doctors, witnessing to them. And it's difficult because I want to, well, you know what, I'm going to save this for next point. Just forgive me. It's coming up. I'll talk about doctors in a minute. Let's go on to my new number C, or new letter C, okay? Because God has called you. So do you see what I did there? I hope I didn't make that too confusing. I do apologize. So now B is C, because God has called you. When I first got this topic, and that's why I was jumping ahead of myself with the doctor story. When I first got this topic, I thought, "God, I should not be teaching this session. Where is Grandpa Wimp? Because he is just the best soul-winning preacher I've ever heard. Every time I hear Grandpa Wimp preach, and you ladies, most of you have heard him, you know what I'm talking about. Don't you just want to go right out then and tell someone about the Lord? He gets you so fired up, and he's such a good soul winner. I remember one of the first times I heard him here at Liberty. We were just brand new married, and he preached this message on soul winning. And I was just on the edge of my seat. That's what I need to do. I got to go tell someone. And as soon as church was over, I was like, I got to find someone to tell him. And I'm not kidding. I told you I'm all or nothing. And I said, okay, let's go find someone. And I couldn't think where to go. I mean, everybody in church had just heard the gospel. So I went out to that bus stop out there looking for someone. And I know that sounds dangerous, but I was protected. I took little Hope with me. I'm sorry, Mom. She was like 12. I thought that's safe, right? And we went out there. Hope and I went out there, and we gave a track and tried to witness to someone at the bus stop and tried to lead in the Lord. And I thought, Lord, why do you have me doing this? I am just not, I mean, I go door knocking, but I wouldn't consider myself a soul winner. And then I realized, you know, I'm the perfect person to teach this lesson. for two reasons. Number one, God wants to work in my life. I hope you realize when we ladies are up here speaking to you, we're not speaking to you because necessarily that we are the ultimate spiritual Christian, that we've mastered these things. And certainly I've not mastered the things in my life spiritually. A lot of times the reason I think God gives us these speaking topics is because he wants to do some work in our lives. Because as we start studying in the Word of God, the Word of God is so quick and powerful. And as I start digging in it to say, what do I need to say? He starts touching my heart and saying, oh, you're not doing this, Heather. You're not right in this area. You need to cut this out of your life. You need to work on this. And he starts working on our life. And secondly, because you need to know, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm not naturally a soul winner. I'm not one of these people. Now, I seem talkative up here, but I guess that may be just, I don't know, speaking, it's all right. But I'm not necessarily a person who is a friend to the world. And don't hate me for this, but I don't go through the world without knowing a stranger. I can get very shy. I can be the type of person who doesn't want to talk to anyone. I can go to the park and read my book and keep my eye on my children. I don't want to talk to every mother that's around me. I don't want to make a new friend. And, you know, when I'm in the stores, I'm not all, let's exchange phone numbers and, you know, where are you from? I'm just not naturally that way. I'm from a very quiet place in Alabama where it's very calm and we are Southern and we keep to ourselves. And that's just how it is. I went to Pensacola Christian College where the founder's motto is keep them busy and they'll stay out of trouble. And it was so hectic at college. It was so busy. Life was so active and sometimes stressful. And I would call home and I would talk to mom and she'd be outside. I could hear the crickets and the gentle rustling of the swing as she'd swing back and forth. Sometimes I'd hear the faint call of Andy Griffith's theme song in the distance, you know, as my dad's watching it. And I thought, what am I doing in this crazy, awful place? And then I heard Charity. When Charity came to college, she told me that she would be at college and she would call home and the family would be, woo, we're going out. We got a youth activity to do. Now we're going to go to Disneyland. And all these things. And she'd say, what am I doing in this boring place? So just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm adapting to the type activity and lifestyle, but I'm not normally just that active. I like to sit and be quiet and be alone. In fact, I'm the type that'll go to the dentist and plug in an iPod. I love iPods because now I can just sit there and not talk to the dentist who wants me to talk while he's working on my teeth. I mean, which has always been a puzzle to me. Like I can talk effectively with those instruments in my mouth. But I went out recently. Bethley Young came and they preached a revival for us. And she and I took a girl's day and we went out and got pedicures. And we went to a place I'd been to before, and the folks there that owned the place were Chinese, and most of the workers were Chinese. Now, Bethley Young, I don't know if she's trained herself to be this way as an evangelist wife. I think she's naturally this way, is my guess. She's one of those ladies that doesn't know a stranger. She's just a friend to everyone. So we sit down there, and I'm here, like, thinking, okay, I'm going to relax, get my little massage thing going. If you haven't had a pedicure, you need to get one. They're wonderful. I'm sitting there with my massage chair. The bubbles are going around my feet, and I'm thinking, relax. Well, Bethley's sitting up. She says, hi, where are you from? And she starts talking to this little girl that's doing her feet. And she's saying, how long have you been here? What's your name? I mean, she had the girl's history before my feet were done bubbling. And I thought, now, first of all, I was a little uncomfortable because I didn't get the sweet little girl. I had an older gentleman, which, first of all, made me a little like, okay, I hope he knows how to do this if you've done your toenails, you know. But and I thought, okay, you know, I'm the pastor's wife, and she's going to lead this girl to the Lord. I got to at least invite this guy to church. And so I'm sitting there, and I start talking. Now, what you need to know about me is I told you I'm Southern. And I'm not just Southern. I'm real Southern. We don't wash our clothes. We wash them. And yes, and we do several things like that. We rake out stuff when it needs to be thrown away and, you know. First time I took Josh home, we went to a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese, one of my nephew's birthdays. And I was just watching all the kids, and my husband's standing there like this. And I said, hey, what's wrong with you? He said, have you listened? And I you know, it's full of kids from the heart of Alabama. And I said, what? He said, listen. And then I started listening. I heard, Daddy, come on over here. Look at this. You know, look at this toy. And they're all just the thickest Southern accent. And so because of my accent and where I was raised, I have a very difficult time understanding people with other accents. Well, lo and behold, the girl that was doing Beth Lee's feet was very American. She'd been, you know, I don't think she was born here, but she moved here right after she was born. She spoke, you know, better than I did, better English than me, which is not hard to do. And the guy that I had, the gentleman I had, so I start talking to him. he had just moved here from China. And his accent was so thick, you know, you could cut it with a knife. And I thought, oh. So I'm trying to talk to him, and I started doing the, uh-huh. No, you know, just trying to respond. And I had no clue what this man was saying most of the time. At one point, I realized I had said no to going to Universal State Studios, and I'd been there, and that helped because he's telling me about everything like I hadn't been there, and I was able to follow a little more because I knew what he was talking about. But it's not natural to me. It's difficult sometimes for me to share the gospel. But you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. The Bible, Jesus didn't say, go ye if you're talkative. He didn't say, go ye if you're not embarrassed. He didn't say, go ye. You know, anyone can bake. We may not feel good at it. But are there requirements for baking? I mean, can a person in a wheelchair bake? Yeah. Could a tall person bake and bake something? Yes. Anybody can bake. They just need to do it. And that's us. We're called to do this. You are called by the Lord. But don't be afraid. Don't let that discourage you. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The Lord has said, go ye. You're his servant, aren't you? I mean, we owe him our service. After all he's done for us, we owe him our love and devotion. We're his servants. And he says, servant, go ye. My house needs to be filled. Don't get discouraged if you feel like you can't do it, like you weren't made to do this. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. He's going to help you. He'll do it with you. And don't feel like because it's something spiritual that you can't practice. I think it's funny that we practice everything, don't we? I mean, we want to learn to do something. We'll practice. We want to play the piano. We'll take lessons and we'll practice. But yet when it comes to something spiritual, we don't want to ask for help. And we certainly wouldn't practice soul winning. I was discipling a girl named Laura, and we had such a fun time going through discipleship. And we got to the lesson about witnessing. And she was a little bit nervous. She was nervous about trying to share God's word. And so I said, okay, Laura, next session, we're going to lead each other to the Lord, just for fun and just for practice. And I said, you know, I asked my husband to do this with me when we first got married because I had mainly taught children. I knew how to lead a child to the Lord, but I'd never led an adult to the Lord. So I remember when we first married, we sat down in our apartment and practiced, and Josh helped me go through the Word of God as if I was talking to an adult. And so we did this, and it was so much fun. I highly advise you to do this with, if you have a prayer partner or a lady that you're close to, or even with one of the staff wives, say, can I practice leading you to the Lord? And it's fun, because you don't have to be you. When someone's leading you to the Lord practicing, I got to be a Mormon, I was a Roman Catholic, I was a mean lady, I was a dumb lady, you know. I got to be all these different people, and then she would try to stump me, and we'd look up verses together. It's so much fun, and it was helpful. You may not have the answer to every question that someone would ask you, but it doesn't matter, and you'll feel more comfortable going out once you practice saying the words. So first thing, realize that you need to be the baker. Just first of all, be the baker. Number two, go to the kitchen. Go to the Christian's kitchen. Where do we do our baking? We have to get in the kitchen. You know, I hope you don't bake in your living room. I hope you don't try to bake in your bedroom because you're not going to be effective. You want to be effective at baking. You want to make some good news or great commission cupcakes. Then go to the Christian's kitchen. You can't do it unless you get in the kitchen. What's the kitchen? Soul winning. Letter A, soul winning. I hope you go to door to door. Once again, Pastor just doesn't have door-to-door visitation just to try to fill up your week and make you tired. He has that because it's commanded and because it's for you. It's not just because we need to bring them in. It's for you. Go to door-to-door. I've learned from the type that I hope I would have taken my children door-knocking, but I knew that my mother-in-law had done that. And so it just came naturally when I had a child to take them door-knocking. And now we have staff. I had to when we first started church take them with me, but now we have staff and I could leave them at home. I never choose to. I never choose to leave them with the baby sitting for door to door because it is one of our favorite family times. We go out and the kids are excited about being outdoors, even in the hot weather. And in fact, we usually do a Slurpee day when it's the hot weather. After we're door knocking, we just do one street if it's real hot. We'll do one street and go get a Slurpee. And they love it. My son loved trying to get his independence and putting the track in the door. Do it with your families, young mothers. Involve them with you. It'll be a special time. It's that time where we can just talk. I'll walk with my son and just have all this time to talk and to teach them. Go soul winning. Go door to door. Letter B, go to visitation. Tuesday night visitation where you deliver your bread baskets to those who visited the church. That is one of the best times to lead someone to the Lord, and it's one of the best times to learn how to lead someone to the Lord. Because you're more likely, a lot of times at the door, I won't meet someone necessarily, or they'll be busy, they're not wanting to stop and talk to me necessarily. But at visitation, our visitation pastor, I don't know if y'all do that, ours even calls and make sure they know we're coming. And it's great because they'll have the kids upstairs in bed. They'll have already eaten dinner, so we're not stopping that. And you know what? If you're new at Lean Someone to the Lord, find someone who's a good baker and get alongside them. Go to one of your staff ladies. Go to Faith if you're a young lady, or Charity, or Brianna, or Gina, or Mrs. Tice, and say, you know, can I go with you on visitation? Would you be my visitation partner one night? And it's great because you can sit and listen to that lady. Let her do the talking. You're just there for moral support and to learn. And you learn and you listen as she says, now tell me about when you were saved. You'll learn the questions to ask to prompt leading someone to the Lord. You'll learn the verses and it'll become second nature. So get alongside someone who's a good day. Go to visitation. Let her see bringing others to church. Bring others. I think it should be bring to make that one right. I don't know. Do whatever's right grammatically. Bring others to church. That's something that you can definitely do to have a part in leading someone to the Lord. Invite them to church. Letter D, gospel tract. Take them everywhere you go. And ladies, we have to be careful. Because I don't know, I've done this. I'm assuming maybe some of you have. I get my tract and I'm ready to check out at Target. And either the woman's busy or grumpy. And I'm like, I get my receipt and then I say, hi, oh, okay, I just wanted to invite you to our church. Hope you can come. And, you know, or I know you're really busy, but here, this is for you. Have you ever done that? And, you know, if someone gave me something like that, if someone had, I don't know, an invitation or was telling me about sale, by the way, there's a sale at Timbury. I wouldn't think it's that good of a sale, would I? I wouldn't be going off because they didn't present it to me with any excitement. We have the best news in the world. Sometimes we apologize for giving it out. I know I've done it. Where I'm so sorry, I don't want to bother you, but here. You know, and we need to say, you know what I've started training myself to say? In fact, I'll even pray when I'm in the line. I get my track out and I pray, Lord, help me to just, you know, relay what you give me. I try to be a witness. I try to tell them the things that God's done in my life. I try to think about our church. I take that moment, I'm thinking how good this Sunday service was. I'm thinking what a good preacher I'm married to and how much it's so fun to listen to him and how he presents the gospel and how it's refreshing to be there. So then when I hand out the tract, I say, hi, I want to invite you to my church. It is just the best church in town. Sorry, Liberty. Southern Hills is the best. I hope you'll say Liberty's the best when you give out your tract. It is the best church in town, and our pastor, I don't always tell them I'm the pastor's wife, I say our pastor is the best preacher you will ever hear. And if they're younger and know how to use the internet or look like they would be pretty savvy with it, I'll say, you can even hear him preach on the internet before you come. He's so good. I try to build it up. If I see a young family, you know what I'll mention? Oh, we have so many friendly people in our church. You're going to love it. And you would be in my tubby class. If you teach Sunday school and they have kids, you tell them about the Sunday school program. You tell them, I would love to have him in my class. You're so cute. Brag on their kids. Tell them you want them to be there. If you work with the youth group, you see a teenage girls, if you're out witnessing, say, our youth group is the best thing. We do the coolest stuff. I used to be bored, but now I go to this cool church, and it is awesome. We do all these things and build it up. When I see pregnant ladies, I tease our ladies at our church, and every time someone has a baby, I start looking around and say, who's pregnant now? Because ever since we started, we've kept 46 ladies pregnant continually. So every time someone has a baby, someone else is getting pregnant. So when I see pregnant ladies, and you know how it is when you're pregnant, you've got a pregnant radar, you know, and soon I never noticed pregnant ladies that much until I'm pregnant. And then I'm like, oh, you're pregnant. What do you do? You know, and I start connecting with them. So if I see a pregnant lady, I say, oh, I'll talk to her about our baby. When are you due? And then I say, you know what? You need to come to our church. We have so many pregnant ladies there. And they just love to talk. Our nursery is so great. You should see it. It's so cute. Build up the church. When you hand out a tract, don't apologize for it. Take a minute and think about what you're giving out. Think about the gospel. Even if they don't come to church, you're giving out the word of God. Also, this is just a little side note you can add. Be aware that bumps in our day may be opportunities to share the gospel. I know a lot of times I'm very motivated. I'm a mother, and I'm trying to get 50 million things done in one day. And I'm driven. I have a mission. I am running to the store to get this. Now, shopping days are different, but you know, the average day, I am trying to get it done. I am working, working, working. And if something stops to interrupt my day, it's such an aggravation. Have you been there? You have that little speed bump in the day. You need to realize that sometimes those are divine appointments. Sometimes when, you know, that person at the checkout can't figure out how to ring up my sale and the person behind me is waiting, it's a chance for me to give out a track and talk to them while she's doing it. They're not just rushing me through the line. When I have, you know, a problem with my car it seems so frustrating. What am I going to do? How am I going to get everything done? We need to pray and ask the Lord to take control and help us to see with His eyes the people around us who we may be coming into contact with, that tow truck driver who may need to hear the gospel that day. That's what Paul did. He was so spiritually minded. He said in Philippians, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel." Paul was in prison for preaching. And he says, "This is because the gospel needs to be spread, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places." Isn't that a good heart? I'm afraid if I had been in Paul's situation, I wouldn't have had that kind of heart. I would have been complaining, "Lord, why do you have me in jail here? Why am I here?" Instead, he was thinking about the souls of those guards who were on either side of him chained up, thinking about telling them about the Lord. And that's how we need to be. We need to realize that. So first of all, be the baker. Number two, go to the Christian's kitchen. And number three, get the gospel ingredients. Now, this is an important one. I've seen beautiful desserts and, you know, been so excited about getting to eat them and then find out that they taste pretty gross. Have you ever done that? You've seen this beautiful dessert and then you bite into it and it just, there's nothing there. We can have the best presentation. We can witness in all these different ways we're going to talk about, but if we don't have those right ingredients, if we don't present it with the gospel, it's like biting into that awful tasting cupcake. So very quickly, I'm going to give you, in fact, this is a very fast way just to lead someone to the Lord. It's just very, very basic. I know Pastor does 5 things you know, 1 thing you must do. Listen during invitation. If he's giving invitation or if he's preaching, write down those things. If you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, start paying attention to special attention when they're presenting the gospel. I was trained as well as my mother-in-law in child evangelism. And they presented need, way, response. So A, B, and C are need, way, and response. I'm going to just go very quickly through it. If I were leading someone to the Lord, I would basically start with their need. I'd say, you know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat. Sin is not meeting God's perfection. We've all messed up and done wrong things, and because of our sin, we deserve punishment. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin." I said, if you work somewhere, I'll ask the lady, "Do you work somewhere?" And I'll share with her, you get paid. You get wages. It's what you get, the money you get for what you do. Said, "What I get, the wages for my sin is death." And that's not talking about spiritual death. I said, physical death. That's a spiritual death. It's being separated from God for all eternity. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve, the Bible says. That's what we get for our sin. We can't go to be in a perfect heaven with a perfect God. But the verse goes on and says, "For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid the way for us." Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." And that word means forgiveness. I can have forgiveness without someone paying for my sins, without someone dying for them. And I'll usually tell them, you know, "I like you a lot, but I can't pay your debt for heaven because I have my own sin in my life. I have my own debt. I can't pay off your debt because of my debt. You may want to pay off mine, but you can't because we both are in debt. We can't clear it. The only one who could was the only one who's perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. He did that." Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And you share that with them. Then you explain to them how Christ died for their sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. And then you just give them the chance to respond to that. You say, "You know, lady, the Bible says we were in need, but Christ made the way. He paid for our sin. Now all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever," anybody, "that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That verse doesn't say whosoever shall call and be baptized. It doesn't say whosoever shall call and go to church faithfully. It says whosoever shall call, and that's it. It's as simple as accepting a gift. If you just call on Him and say, "Lord, I need you to save me," He'll do it. And then you give them the chance to respond. That's the gospel. Need, way, response. That's not very hard, is it? Need, way, response. Let's say that together. Need, way, response. So make sure you have the right ingredients as you're presenting the gospel. Number four, set the temperature at divine degrees. Divine degrees. Divine means God's in control, His divinity here. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. I love this passage. Luke 5, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him," that's pressing upon Jesus, they were crowding in to hear Him, "to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," that's Peter, "and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship.
Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, let's stop there a minute. Do you know, I'm sure you do, what did Peter do for a living before he was a disciple? Fisherman. He said, Lord, I've been out on this lake all night. We have been working, we've been toiling, and we have caught nothing. Now, do you think Peter knew what he was doing out there? Yes. Now, if I were out there in the boat and I caught nothing, it wouldn't mean anything because I don't know a thing about fishing. But Peter, that's what he did day after day after day. He was good at it. And he said, we have worked and we worked and we have caught nothing. He goes on to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And go on to verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Ladies, no matter what, even if you're good at speaking, even if you're like Bethley Young and you're confident and you don't know a friend, you know, we can't lead anyone to the Lord on our own, can we? It's a spiritual thing. Can we do it in our own flesh? Can I just try hard enough? No, I have to be used by the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for all the lessons we've had about being used by the Holy Spirit, being His vessel, letting Him use us, putting Him in the driver's seat. We have to do that when we witness. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7 says, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Every time that we're sharing the gospel, they may not be getting saved, or we may not know that they get saved when we leave a track on their door, but we're giving them seed. We're giving them that chance. We're watering. Maybe it's the second or third time that they've heard the gospel and it's starting to get to their hearts. God is the one working on their hearts, though, isn't he? If they get saved, if I lead someone to the Lord, did I do anything? No, I just let myself be used of God. It was He. He's the one that revealed the truth to them, the truth of the Word of God. He's the one that opened it up to them. We need to pray and put Him in control. We need to pray for His directions. You know, even when I have the chance to lead someone to the Lord, even all to work, when I get back to the room with them, first thing I do is I try to remember to pray. I'll say, you know what, let's just take a minute before we get started here and pray and ask the Lord to lead us. And by the way, if you're nervous, that'll calm your heart because they'll remind you that it's not you. It's the Lord who's going to be in control. So pray and say, Lord, just take my heart, take my words, use it. Open your word to this lady here, to whatever her name is, Susie, and help her to understand what we're talking about today. Pray for His direction. Remember, you're responsible to follow the directions, but the real baking is done by the Lord in His way and His time. I kind of think of it like the oven. You know, I can mix up the right ingredients. I can put it all together. I could be the best baker in the world. But if I put it in a cold oven, it won't do anything. We need the Holy Spirit's power to do this spiritual thing. So let's move on to number five. Cover with very bold icing. I've been watching too much Strawberry Shortcake, huh? Cover with very bold icing. I love icing, don't you? Sometimes the sweetest part of the cupcake. Kids. I always think of kids when I think of icing. My kids are at that stage right now where I will bake the most beautiful cake or the most delicious. I just figured out how to make a nothing bundt cake. Well, at least the cake, not the icing. I haven't mastered that yet. But my kids won't even pay attention to the cake. They just start licking off that icing. Have you been there? How many of you mothers have seen that? And you're thinking, don't waste the cake, child. You know, and they will do that. And it's the sweetest part a lot of times. And a lot of times that's the part we leave off when we're making these cupcakes, isn't it? I know with me, this is so convicting, the boldness that I need. Matthew 19:14 said, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to think about children for a minute. They have that easy faith. The Bible talks about having the faith as children. In fact, Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And we talk about having childlike faith. We think of it, to get saved, didn't we have to have faith like a child? We had to say, okay, Lord, I just trust you. You know, we need the boldness of a child. And this is something the Lord has been working in my heart on. We need to be like children and that we're so... I knew I was going to cry. I did so good last time about crying. We need to be like children and be so concerned for others and that know that we have to tell them. My son is 5 years old. And quite frankly, I'm not sure he's quite reached the age of accountability. He's prayed twice with me to accept the Lord. And I still think he might... That day is coming. His heart's very tender to God right now, though. And he had started to get burdened for other people. The other day, this is so cute. The other day at the table, I heard him leave Savannah's Lord. It was so funny because he just told her, you need to pray this. God, let me go to heaven. And she, of course, was being stubborn and said, no. And then he said, don't you want to be with me in heaven? And so she said, yeah. And she prayed. But the part that really gets me is we have a little next door neighbor. Our neighbors are Mormon.
And they have a little girl that's 4 now. She's tall and she's a social butterfly in the neighborhood. She'll walk right into your house, you know, and she rides her bike all over the neighborhood. And her name is Emily. And sometimes, you know, I think, oh, Emily, don't come in our house right now. You know, we're busy. And we've taught our son that there are good churches and there are bad churches. A bad church doesn't teach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So he's learned that. So he started to ask questions about Emily. And he started to ask about her church because he, you know, wanted to invite her and stuff. And he was talking about it. And he's so worried about little Emily because he knows that if Emily dies without accepting the Lord as her Savior, she's going to a real eternal hell for the rest of her life. My son had crafted a few weeks ago in kindergarten. He had to make a little Easter card. It's a Becca curriculum. And, you know, he was talking about giving it to Grandma. First thought comes to mind is Grandma. And I said, no, Jonathan, not this time. You make Grandma lots of pictures, but this time, this is an Easter card. Why don't you give it to an older person in our church that would really like it and mean a lot to them? Or why don't you give it to someone who doesn't know about the true way to heaven, what Easter's really about? And he said, you're right, Mom. I'm going to give this to Emily. A few weeks ago, he went with my husband to church, and he went to the back room. He was playing back there with the craft stuff in church, and he made a little necklace. He put a heart, and he just learned to spell heart, God, best. He told us to say, I got to give this to Emily because she needs it. And it broke my heart, ladies, because I don't have the boldness of my 5-year-old son. Sometimes I look at people that I witness to, and I don't see that eternal soul. Sometimes I look at people, and I just see a problem or a difficulty in my life. There are some children that have just moved into our neighborhood, not Emily, but some children down the street, and they're not the cleanest children. They're not the neatest, not the most well-behaved children in our neighborhood. And oh, it's so embarrassing to say this. I'm just being open with you because this is my heart. First thing I thought was, there goes the neighborhood. How wicked of me to think, oh, there goes the neighborhood. I hope they don't come around my kids too much. And the Lord smote my heart. I said, those are my babies. Those are my kids, Heather, that I've made. I love them just like I love you. And their mommies and daddies don't tell them about the Lord like you tell your kids about Jesus. Their parents don't tell them about heaven and hell. And so, ladies, I'm making a commitment before you. I told him, oh, God, I'm so sorry. We're having BBS this year at church, and I'm going to go around the neighborhood, invite the kids to church, and take the van, anyone they'll let me. And if they won't come to BBS, I'm going to try to have a 5-day club. I know how to do that. I'm going to teach in my garage and teach them about you. Ladies, we need boldness. Why are we holding back the truth that we need to share with others? The most important thing we can do is tell people about the Lord. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Ephesians, he says, he prays, and this should be our prayer, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Now, here's my doctor's story. I am one of the people that I have the most trouble having boldness to is doctors, because I want our doctors to love us. Brianna and I have joked about this, you know, especially at the end of pregnancy where you're getting all frumpy. You know, you're getting so big, it's hard to shave the legs. You don't care about curling the hair, and you just start to let it go. But when I had my doctor's appointment at the end of pregnancy, I would shave. I'd curl my hair. I wanted to smell fresh. You know, I'm always sweating at the end of pregnancy. I'd put on extra deodorant because I wanted my doctor to think, oh, there's that nice clean lady. Because, you know, they deal with so many dirty people. I've always felt bad for them. I thought, I just wanted them to think, oh, good, it's the clean lady. Okay, let's check her. Maybe she'll go into labor today. You know, that's what I always think. Even with my kids going to the pediatrician, they wear their new outfits, you know, because I want it, which is hilarious because when the doctor gets there, they're usually just in their underwear. You know, he doesn't even see the outfit. But I want to be the nice, clean family. I don't want to pester my doctor. I want him to like me. And just a couple weeks ago, I had to take Scarlett for shots, and the Lord had already been burning my heart about boldness. And I said, Lord, you know, I have given this doctor a tract several times, and I usually do it apologetically, saying, here's an invitation to our church. You need to come. You'll love it. I've tried a couple times to be bold. But I thought, you know what, Lord? I don't know if he's going to come, but he needs to know the truth. And I prayed all the way to the doctor's office that God would help me point out the plan of salvation on our tract. So we got there, and the doctor came in, and I gave him the track, and I said, Doctor, I've invited you to our church several times, but I don't think I've ever showed you this part on the back. It's from the Word of God, how you can know you're going to heaven. And I hope you'll read that a little bit later when you have a chance. Now, I didn't say it that calmly. I said it a lot faster, but I did say I prayed and prayed. What was great, though, is when the nurse came in, I was able to talk to her and be very bold with her and witness to her. And she said she's been looking for a church. She told me she'd come. And I showed her that part on the bag, and I'm praying she'll read it. Say, we need boldness, ladies. What is a cupcake without the icing? You know, that's kind of like soul winning without boldness. It's not as sweet. It's missing something. So we need to cover it with very bold icing. And then the last part's one of my favorites. Point six, we need to add some soul winning sprinkles. And this part's optional, just like sprinkles are optional. Love Adds a Little Chocolate is a book by Lisa Anderson. And I love this quote. It's so good for so many things, but it reminds me also of soul winning. Duty can pack an adequate sack lunch, but love may decide to enclose a little love note inside. Obligation sends the children to bed on time, but love tucks the covers in around their necks and passes out hugs and kisses. Duty gets offended quickly if it isn't appreciated, but love learns to laugh a lot and work for the sheer joy of doing it. Obligation can pour a glass of milk, but love adds a little chocolate. I think sometimes we just we can do extra things with soul winning. Sometimes I like to add a little sprinkling on my soul winning cupcakes, on my Great Commission cupcakes. And I have a few ideas. I'm just going to list them out. You should do whatever you're interested in and make that a way to share the gospel. When we first got pregnant with Jonathan, you'll see letter A, we gave baby gifts. What I did, I was excited. And I think, too, sometimes I did this as an excuse not to be bold, but I thought, I want to witness these people. We're so excited about having our first baby, and we made these little goodie bags. I found blue chapstick and blue gum and anything blue I could find. I stuck it in that bag, made a little blue card with a baby blue footprint, and said, thank you for being here for this special event in our lives, and we want to share something with you. And I put the plan of salvation there. Now, if you do one of these ways, witness. Don't give them a little pack of candy and just say thank you. That's not witnessing. Make sure you give the gospel. I laugh at the billboard. We drive as we're on our way to Liberty. Have you seen the billboard that says God? You know, it's got the funny letters, and it used to say, like, I am. And so I drive by that board, and we always wonder who puts that up, and I always say, honey, God, I'm going to get saved. You know, like, that doesn't lead anyone to the Lord. So if you do some of these ways, do it. Give them the gospel in doing it. So make sure you include it. But that's a great way. Christmas cookies. When we were first married in our little apartment in Florida, we were trying to get to know our neighbors. And at Christmas time, we made all these little cookies. And we put them in a bag, and we put the salvation message, a letter with, you know, in a track and everything. We're inviting them to church already. And just to try to make that extra effort to let them know we love them, that's something you do. My parents and I went to Canada, and we stay at bed and breakfast. Now, I told you about my parents. They are not people. They're like me. They want to go just sit and be quiet, you know. And we went, and we were staying for the first time ever in bed and breakfast areas. And we were so private, we made sure the bed and breakfast had its own private bath because we didn't want to share a bathroom with anyone else. That's how snotty Southern we are. But my mom had a great idea, and she said, let's make gift baskets. She wrote a nice letter saying we're from Coleman, Alabama, and we got stuff from our area. We got special jars of preserves from our area of whatever, I think it was strawberries that were in blooming at that time, and a little thing about our town history. And then she included, and about us, the most important things in our lives is Jesus Christ. And she wrote the gospel in that letter. And we would give that to people, and they were so excited to receive it. And then we would talk to them. They already knew who we were and where we were coming from. I have a hair blog now. That's letter D. I never thought I would do this, but I started looking for ideas for hair. And for Savannah's hair, doing her hair, and I found all these blogs. Most of them are Mormon. They're all in Utah. But I started reading, and I was like, oh, this is fun. And I decided to start my own blog. At first, I thought, oh, I can't do that. I don't really know a lot about doing hair. And I realized, it's the Internet. I can do whatever I want, you know. You don't have to be an expert. You just start your thing, and they'll think you're an expert. So I started doing it to try to win some contests, and I've had people from all over the world. I've had like 500 people already. I just started. Come look at my blog. They'll click on and look at a few hairstyles I've done with Savannah. And I thought, this is crazy. I don't even know what I'm doing. And they're all checking it out, you know, thinking it's the way to do hair. I've had people from Canada, Mexico, from Israel, from India. It's amazing. And I thought, you know, Lord, this could be a creative way to witness. And I thought, I'm going to build it up. I have people that are starting to follow and watch the new post I put. And I'm praying for Christmas time to put a special Christmas message on there about the gospel. Wouldn't that be amazing if someone in Israel read that and got saved? I'm even trying to work it into a hairdo. I don't have to rat it up for sin or something and, you know, and put gel on it for the covering blood of Christ. I don't know. I got to think of something so they'll read the whole thing. I know. That's a little crazy, but do what you can. Do what you like. Do what you know. You teenagers, some of you may like drama. If you're in a play, share the gospel with people and that you're around. I got the privilege to be in a play. I was Mary from It's a Wonderful Life when I was a teenager. And my mom and I made little turkey treats. And I gave a turkey gospel track with my turkey cookie to the people in the play. Whatever you're interested in, pray about ways that you can share that with others and you can present the gospel. The last thing I really want to close with this thought is I've heard preachers before talk about soul winning and making an effort because that person you lead to the Lord could be the next, you know, and they'll say usually like Billy Graham or something. And I used to think about that. Excuse me. I used to think, you know, I need to witness that person because what if that child is going to be like the next Terry Chapel who got saved in a bus ministry and she's going to tell all these people about the Lord. And I was thinking about it and I think the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, he doesn't care about it being the next big evangelist. He wants that every soul. That's a soul. Like we were talking about before, we need to realize that that's an individual soul that has an eternal destination that God cares about. It's close to his heart. If all I do for my efforts is get to see one person saved, that makes the difference, doesn't it? God cares about it. Look at the verses here. Luke 15:9-10 says, and when she had found it, this woman lost the coin. She called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, that one piece which she had lost. Not the whole necklace, but one. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. 1 Corinthians 3:8-9 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. After you finish baking those cupcakes and enjoy giving them out, I want you to think about it and just enjoy, savor what you've done. After door knocking, just savor and pray. Say, Lord, I tried to do your work, and I want to rejoice. Be thankful. Enjoy the fact that you got to give out the gospel. Think about the fact that one day you're going to see the Lord. I can't wait to see the Lord and get to heaven. Think about how exciting it's going to be to go to heaven. And there's all these people, and you meet this person. And you, I think we're going to know. I just know we're going to know that we put that track on their door. We see that person that read that note that you put down or that you talked to at the grocery store and you shared. You were bold and you said, this is the best thing in the world. You need to accept the Lord. And you were bold that time. And you're going to see him in heaven. You may never see him again on earth, but you're going to see him in heaven. And that person is there because you were yielded to the Lord. Ladies, it's the most important thing we can give our energies to. And I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll decide today to let the Holy Spirit lead you to be the baker, to make these things happen, to let the Lord use you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this conference. You're such a good God, Lord. You care so much about us and that we learn. And Lord, I pray as we draw close to you, we see through your eyes that we would see all the people out there that we're around every day, the kids and the adults, even the person at work that could be just a struggle to be around, that we'll see them as individual souls that you desire to see, that you love, that you made, God. I pray we would have boldness in sharing your faith, your gospel. I pray for ladies today, maybe who've never been out door knocking or who used to be faithful. I pray they'll be out this Saturday, God, that they'll go out on Tuesday night visitation, that they'll meet with their pastor's wives, God, and learn how to give your word. I pray we would become a powerful church. And, Lord, that we would tell people in Vegas that we would win Las Vegas for you, Lord. You're such a good God. Thank you for this day and for all these ladies. I pray you would bless them, Lord, and keep them close to you. I pray you would keep Satan away from them, from attacking them, Lord, and just bless our efforts. We love you, God. Amen.